This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess on 570 KLIF.
Mr. Kramer, I've been reviewing your work. Quite frankly, it stinks.
I mean, I'll work harder, nights, weekends, whatever it takes.
No, I don't think that's going to do it. These reports you handed in, it's almost as if you have no business training at all. I don't know what this is supposed to be.
Well, I'm trying to get ahead.
Well, I'm sorry. There's just no way that we could keep you on.
I don't even really work here.
That's what makes this so difficult.
Welcome back here live with Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And we know now what happens when you really adopt a potbelly pig and it grows up and you grow up in the process as well. But what about when an entire group of people who were supposed to retire and leave the workforce with their 401k plan and their benefits, and they don't leave because the recession hits? They don't retire. They stay in the workforce. They stay at the workplace. And an entire new group of workers speaking a much different language, possessing a vastly different perspective, storm in. How do these two groups really work together? You know, there's a communication breakdown across the board. The elders are angry. The youngsters are asking why all the time. You know, like how kids always ask, if you have kids, you know what I'm saying? Why, mommy, why? And no one's happy about it. You know, we've heard these references, you know, but what do they really mean? You have the boomers, the X's, the Y's, and the millennials. What do these tags honestly mean? What are they supposed to mean to me? I don't know. But Petey Parker, corporate guru and coach to top CEOs around the world, joins us live here on Perspectives to help us with the unexpected while you're on the clock. Welcome to Perspectives, Petey. How are you doing this evening?
I'm great, Ashley, and I'm wondering how I follow Esther, a 400-pound pig. But I think we can make a transition right over whenever you're ready.
I love it. It's wonderful to have you. So, okay, Petey, so I was talking about earlier, we know how it is to have a situation arise in our private life. But what happens when the carpet's pulled out from underneath us in our work? You know, I think prior to the recession, an entire generation of workers who planned to retire didn't retire when the recession hit. So they couldn't. And the younger generations who thought they would inherit their jobs didn't. Right?
Yeah.
Well, so what happened?
Well, it creates a sonic boom. I mean, it really was, it's great. It's great in one way. If we had to name happy things about a recession, we would say 80% of the experience stayed because they weren't going to get their 401ks. They weren't going to get that retirement. They weren't getting the golden parachute. So they stayed. And then you had the group of X's, Y's, and some of the younger boomers saying, but we thought, you know, they've been promised all their lives, good job. And they thought, we're going to have your job. And it just didn't happen until now we're coming out of the recession. And now there's a big question of the communication between all the different generations of, well, things are looking better. So are you guys going to leave? Do we have a succession plan? What does that mean? Am I ready? And so a great deal of time is being spent in corporate America doing nothing but saying, can you just talk to each other? Can you just get on the same page? Because when the boomer, it's not just boomers. We have 4 to 5 generations in corporate America right now. So when matures, and they hate to be called that, and boomers are saying to the X's and Y's, just do it. Here's the job. You work 8 hours a day. You come in here and you leave then. And this is the job you do. You've got the X's and Y's just going, why?
So it's really like a language barrier, honestly. It seems like people are speaking different languages because they reflect or understand differently.
Absolutely, Ashley. Because when a boomer says, Ashley, you know, we hired you to do this, just do it this way, and you're an XY, and you ask me why, I feel challenged. I feel like, well, why are you questioning me? I've been doing this for years. I know how it should be done. You should do it. And so when we work with corporations, we put the two together in a room, in smaller groups, and we role play. And we say, okay, no, in your own vernacular, in your own way, we want you to tell the X's and Y's what you want them to do. And you can see the body language right away. It's like from the X's and Y's, rolling of eyes. No, why? And then they will actually retort back, why? In a tone that's very, very offensive to that boomer. And so what we said to the wives, why are you asking? I mean, that's the bigger question. You know, when you ask why, you drill down five times. You ask five times. Okay, well, that may be, but why? And what they're actually saying is, well, we're hoping someday we're going to be the leaders of this company, and we want to know why, because we want to know how to make it better. And once you can cross that bridge back and say, I want to learn all I can from you, Mr. Boomer, so that when I do this job, I make not only myself proud of what I'm doing, but I take it to the next level, because that's what I'm trained to do. That was what I was taught to do since the first time I ran across a football field or a soccer field and somebody said, good job, here's your trophy. There's still that, well, I want to earn that trophy.
So, Petey, do you think that really, what role really does the individual perspective really play with, let's say, corporate culture? We hear that word all the time, corporate culture. So what is our individual perspective, whether it's from one generation or another, how does that really play into corporate culture?
Well, it's playing right now in this odd way. It's we hear so much. It used to be the generational piece was kind of a cutesy thing. This generation likes to read the newspaper, this the radio, this the television, this one won't. They have to have an iPad for news. It was kind of a cute thing to do about 5-6 years ago. And so speakers and corporate coaches would go in, and they made it kind of fun. And now it's not as much fun as it is serious. The very culture of the company has to be, wait a minute, maybe our culture is changing, because we realize in 5 years of the people that we're training in the X's and Y's now, their target market and their relationships have to be with other X's and Y's. So the culture has to move from, are we going to be a culture that says, I worked hard 10 hours a day, and I expect you to work 10 hours a day. That culture is changing to say, here's the project, you get the job done, you want more life balance, then we got to make that happen, but not to the point and detriment of the company. So it's a really odd switching that's happening depending on the leadership of the company and how they'll let go of that idea of, you know, I worked hard, you need to work hard mentality, as much as I'm looking at you to work smart. And what does that mean? I mean, what does that mean to the profit of the company?
Yeah, sometimes I don't know about some of our listeners, but I think I'd have to speak for some of us. I think that working hard does pay off. I think that there is a concept of working smart, but I think sometimes you have to put in the hours. If you're doing something that takes a lot of time, you can't just sit there and like try to get, you know, 15 hours of stuff done in 2 hours. It doesn't happen. You're just not doing it, or you're delegating it. And the thing is, if you don't have enough infrastructure to delegate it, then it goes to you. It's delegated to you. And so I also feel like a lot of the times, too, with these new generations, and I know I'm kind of in one of these generations, but yet, I think that some things have really suffered. Let's talk about customer service, for one thing. I mean, I really think that the way that things were handled years ago and now are very interesting. When you call up a company, you get some very interesting responses when you're the customer.
Hey, yeah, you do. And so where is the balance? And right now, actually, I think that is if I had to caution a company, no matter how large, no matter how small, and that is, how are you going to meet the client and customer? So we train people to say, no matter what the generation, we have to say, you have to be able to say yes to all of these questions. Is that good for you personally? Is it good for your department? Is it good for the company? Is it good for the client customer? Who is this good for? Because it's got to be pretty much good for everybody. It's got to satisfy everybody, depending on your job description. But as a company, everybody represents that. So the balance, it's a balancing act right now. And let me tell you a quick story. because it brought it home. A couple nights ago, I took my three grandchildren to the Perot Science Museum to spend the night. Now,
awesome.
They're Girl Scout. Yeah.
I wanted to go, but there wasn't a spot for me. So I was feeling a little neglected. I could have had a lot of fun. It would have been like night at the museum. We could have found out the mysteries. And I'm sure, you know, it would have been crazy. And, you know, Owen Wilson's there hanging out, you know.
But. I know. They don't come alive. We were all disappointed. We thought all the dinosaurs. But here's what happened. We had Girl Scout troops. All the kids had to be between 6 and 12. Okay?
Okay.
So that's the age group of the kids. Now, the people brave enough to come were like troop leaders, but you had to be like 18 or above. So there were some 18-year-olds. And then there were the grandmothers, the grandfathers, the parents. So you had this, you really had all of these generations spending the night together, going from floor to floor, participating in all these scientific studies and projects. And here's what happened that was interesting to watch. The parents wanted to be able to participate, but the kids were showing them how to do everything. And it was, Dad, no, you need to, you know, this is how you move. This is what you need to do. And so it was this whole training from this age group. And the grandparents were just sitting on the benches going, oy vey, in my day. So I would say as a piece of advice to all these generations that are in the workplace now, take a 9 or 10-year-old with you. It used to be that they'd go to see what mom and dad would do, but now I think you should take them in and say, what do you see that we're doing? I mean, you know, check our computers.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
No, that's a good perspective, and I love that story, Petey. You bring it home for us, because when you look at it from different perspectives, you understand when somebody's always asking you why, or you got the flip-flop, somebody's always telling you how you got to do something, it changes it.
Mm-hmm.
But is there, we actually have to wrap up, but do you have one last thing that you'd like to say to our listeners tonight?
Well, you know, one, I would say in every company, there's a lean program that's improving performance. Go to the people doing it and ask them how to do it better. So I don't care the age group. I don't care if it's upwards because you want to learn about the experience or you go to the new hire that comes in. The thing is, ask the people doing it, how would you do this better? Let me put new eyes on this. Every once in a while, let somebody else understand somebody else's job. What would you do? Where is the initiative? What initiative could we have to really cross this conversation in appreciation, admiration of each other?
I agree. That's awesome. And Petey Parker, corporate guru and coach to CEOs, we look forward to having you on here in the future. And thank you so much. And if you want any more information on Petey, just go to PeteyParker.com. And thank you so much for coming on here live with us. And we want you to have a really great night.
Thanks, Ashley.
Thank you, Petey. Have a great one.
So
when we return, the Perspectives crew is going to give some tips on dealing with the unexpected, how to open your mind enough to really begin to appreciate really the things we usually see as a burden. Happiness, just like love, is a state of mind. When you think things take place to screw you over and you're being rigid about it and you're stuck in your world of expectations, things don't tend to benefit you. Instead, you seem to find the problems. So stay tuned, because guess what? Perspectives with Ashley Burgess will be back in 2 shakes.